All right, everyone, we're back, and this will be our last meeting. Thankful for everyone that's here. We've had our friends from over in Southwest Michigan are with us. You saw their kids dancing just a little bit ago. We got to work on that a little bit, but it's a good start. It's a good start. We've got Miranda from Chicago with us. We've got Rick from Grand Rapids. Of course, Gary's here. Rex and Liz are here. My wife's here, and my kids, Bailey and Lucy, who've been carrying around their treasures, not knowing just where to go this morning. Lucy was pacing back and forth with her circular dog bone and not sure where to land. I'm not sure if she was telling Gary to hurry up or if she wanted to share it with him. Either one. And we've got Miranda trying to baptize her purse right now. That's okay. That's okay.
All right, you need a towel?
Yeah.
One towel. I'll get it. Just sit.
Thank you.
Just sit.
So, as we get settled down here a little bit, we'll begin. And I don't know about aliens and being somewhere you're not, but I mean, I'm not against it, put it that way. And if you happen to go and you can take a passenger, please stop by and get me, would you?
We watched that great movie last week, Mike.
Yeah, Gabriel, I'm sorry, I'm persecuting your last name. But Gabriel sent me a movie that was entitled Interstellar.
Yes.
And it was very, very, I've got to watch it again. Gabriel, thank you. He sent this to me. And it was quite slow moving at the beginning. It's a pretty long movie. We watched it. It's even got 3 hours just a bonus feature, so this was a long one. But as it got into about halfway, it really sped up. And it's a great story about the fact that what they're doing is looking for other worlds to inhabit. And I don't believe this world. I really like what George Carlin says about the world. He says, us humans think we're going to damage the world, but it's going to spin us off like a gnat on the back end of a dog. Okay, so this world was created to be inhabited, the Lord said, and it will continue to be inhabited, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be other places. So I'm all for space travel and probably Star Trek for sure. Star Trek was my favorite program. We never missed an episode as young boys. And I had to watch it on black and white TV because that's all I had. Because back then, the small TVs weren't color yet. You had to buy a bigger TV. And I love all that stuff. And I think the reason I love it is it pulls you into a dimension that's beyond time and space.
Yes.
And that's where reality dwells. And so what we want to be careful with is realizing that nothing needs to change. See, all of reality, everything that will ever happen or has happened, all is indwelling and present in this moment. All of the discovery is present in this moment. Everything that can be discovered is present in this moment. And so what's unbelievable about that is we enter into a dimension that's not controlled by passing time. And I think that's where what we call time travel could happen, because there is no such thing as time. And we got to realize we don't have to go somewhere. There's nowhere to go. You have everything. Everything you need dwells within you. And we have to begin there. Let's not go somewhere yet, okay? Let's try to take that all with us, okay? Can we do that right now? Let's try to work on that and come in to a dimension and reality of who you really are. And so even when Gary was quoting scripture this morning, we have to be real careful with the scripture he quoted when it said, Christ was in you. It's not a person. Just remember that, see? Christ is not a man. Christ is not a person. Christ is the truth of your being. That's what the Christ means. That's what they crucified. They didn't crucify a man. They crucified the truth. And the Christ won't save you, and the death of Jesus won't save you. Only the truth will save you. And that is the Christ of your being. So we've got to get that settled down. But Gary didn't say anything other than that, but people, when they read that passage, they see Jesus Christ as a person, as an icon. That's why he said, I got to go. Because you're never going to see the Father in me if I don't leave. And you'll never see the Father in yourself if you don't get your eyes off of Jesus the man. It's not about Jesus the man anymore. It's about who you are right now. Right now. Everything you could imagine is real right now. But we have to escape the dream world of mortal mind, which is desire for something we don't have. So again, trying to keep that in context, right? When you go with a full briefcase, Jesus went with a full briefcase all the time, and he said, don't take purse with you. Isn't that something? Don't take your robe or your purse. But he had a full briefcase of everything he needed. See, that doesn't make sense, does it? Right? We want to take traveler's checks with us. I was talking to somebody the other day that took a bunch of traveler's checks to South America, and she couldn't even get them cashed anymore because nobody knows what they are. They didn't even know what they were. No bank would cash them. She had to go borrow money from someone else. She couldn't get them cashed. And I haven't done that for years and years. I used to do it, but I don't do it anymore. So, we've already got a few hundred views already since last night and today on the videos on Ustream. And I've already went over my limit of 100 viewing hours. So we've had 100 people view at least an hour, and we're way over that, which is wonderful. So some of what I'm going to share this afternoon has some redundancy to it, but it's good because mortal mind is very stubborn. It's one thing I've learned, okay? So, what I'm going to share with you is a little tricky. I'll try to go slow so we follow along. Jesus did not come to save humanity or to do something for you. We've got to really understand that, because as Gary shared, all of Christian doctrine, all of churchianity, all of what's called Christianity teaches that message, that Jesus came to save human beings and do something for you. Now, a lot of us have got the revelation that there's no such thing as a human being, but we don't have the revelation that Jesus did not come to do something for you. And the two really mean the same thing. Yeah. See, that's why it's confusing. So somebody already posted. When Jesus died, we died. When Jesus rose, we rose. That's not true. Absolutely not true. The truth died. the truth was slain as a man. Okay? It was crucified. The truth was crucified. That's why they took his life. We didn't die with Jesus, and the truth doesn't need to die. So, excuse me, I didn't say that right before. Somebody said, well, we've got to lay down our Christ life. Well, why would you want to lay the truth down? That's what saves you. You don't lay down a Christ life. The Christ means the truth. That's what it means. Christ is the manifestation of truth, and he came to tell you a message. And he said that message was, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he said, guess what? Your Father's my Father. Now, it's a little puzzling to me why it wasn't more predominant in the Gospels as it was recorded. But if you look at it holistically, you can see it clearly and you can find it clearly. And when the revelation comes to you of your realization, I don't even like to say the word union, because we're not joining to something, we're becoming that thing we've always been. There's not two train cars hooking together that make one. That's part of the confusion. Okay, there's not the Jesus car and the Mike car connecting and joining and becoming joined and unionized. That's not what's happening. That's what we have to understand, okay? Christ didn't come to save your car. Christ is the car, and you're it. The Father is who you are. There is no other. That's the only thing that's going to get rid of the division, is to realize you are the Father of light. There is no other. There is no other. And when you get rid of your images, all the images you've had of God, thinking he's a power over something and think he's Santa Claus and omnipotent and omniscient, if you really focus, and I spent a lot of time with this since January, omnipresent love doesn't need to know anything because it is everything. We don't have to get the volumes of books out and study it and get 20 PhD degrees. You don't. All that it is with you. And whatever you need will be manifest, as Gary shared, when it's time. We don't need a list. We don't need to carry around a list. And that's what Jesus said. Leave your list home and go out and realize you've got everything you need for life and godliness. And you're lacking no thing. And the only way you can realize that is to get rid of this image in your mind that you're something other and that you need another to do something for you. It's all dualism. It's all failure. There is only love, that Father of love and light, and that is what you are. And you can't do anything about it. And you can't screw it up either. You can't. I know it. Take a break. Quit. Leave your records at home of all the stuff you've screwed up. Leave them at home. Because you can only be where you've been and you were meant to be there. You've never been in the wrong place. Ever. You've only been what? In the wrong place in your mind. Omnipresent love's never in the wrong place. Ever. Never has been. But in our mind, what, we've traveled out beyond reality, forming gods, praying to idols, trying to get more, 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 and never satisfied. That's why desire is sin. That's why desire is sin, because it means you're not satisfied. Means you're living in a place where you are not satisfied, and out of that place of dissatisfaction, anxiousness is born. Especially true when problems present themselves to you. So we're going to continue to focus on that a little more. Maybe we're going to say it 10 times so you'll get it. Because it's a big, big, and it's really the only problem. The cross isn't the problem. It's thinking you need somebody to do something for you is the problem. About anything. And so, because we look out upon the horizon with our view of the world, we see nothing in the appearance realm but what? Death, destruction, and failure. That's what we see. There's a good reason for this. We don't understand that Jesus did not come to save the world from their judgment of the world. There's no help there. Absolutely no help. None. You're on your own. Serious. You are on your own. Yeah. There's no such thing as humanity. And that principle, that understanding must be known deep within you for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. For you. Now, Gary was talking about Revelation. And as I read this verse, I realized what I'm saying to you. You have the outer court where there's a hell of a lot of judgment. You have the inner court where you start to get glimpses of reality. And then at the end of Revelation, said, I, John, saw there was no more tabernacle. No more tabernacle. What have we called ourselves all these years? A tabernacle of God. He said, I saw there was no more tabernacle because what? The Father himself and the Lamb are the tabernacle. Isn't that beautiful? You are the Father. You are the Father. You are the Father. You're no longer a dwelling place for some God to try to get into and change you. You are the tabernacle. What do? We relinquish and allow the personality of human existence to disappear and realize it's all an illusion. It's not real. It's beautiful. Go ahead and read that passage. You'll see it just the way I did because of what it said. In the Holy of Holies, the very center, there's no longer any view of the outer. It disappears. And that's what you have to do, is you have to disappear from the face of the earth. Jesus did not come to die for something. He came to tell you that you have to die to this illusion that you're separate. That's what he came to tell us. You are the Holy of Holies. You are that. That's who you are. It's not something you can become. It's who you already are. The essence of omnipresent love is not present in the human scene of judgment. That's what the human scene is. The human scene is just judgment. Judgment of the world. If you were aware of the significance of this statement, you would understand what it means to lay down your life. Lay down your concept, the false concepts. That's what we're doing. We're laying down what? This unbelief that causes separation, that Rebecca says, that's what my goal is. Joel's talking about a cross, and it's very confusing. One guy wrote on the You stream up there, he said, you blasted my foundations all to hell. And he didn't say thank you. That's what he said. He said, you've just blasted my foundation all to hell. Great. Great. You don't need a foundation. You are the foundation. You are it. There's no other. There is no other. And as you start to meditate on that and enter into a silence and understanding of that, it will take you over. It will consume you. And you'll realize, I shall not want anything. You'll be led, what, by the still waters. Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. You'll be by green pasture. Because you won't be living out of this bottomless pit that never can be satisfied. You won't be living there anymore. And so, if Jesus didn't come to save humanity, then there's got to be another plan. Right? Yep. And so, it's critical for us to understand this in this hour where the truth is beginning to change so rapidly. Because I'm beginning to feel quite an escalation. I talked to Dean earlier about it this morning. And Gary mentioned it a little bit. That people are going to people are already realizing it just isn't working. Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
And they've left the building. They left the building, but they still haven't left their personality. See, they still brought that with them. And that's the real problem. The building isn't the problem. We've left the building because what? We said, this ain't working, but we're not really sure what works either. So plan B is good. We need a plan B. And so, all of truth is based on this. All of the issues of Jesus' life and what people say is the cross is based on what I'm going to tell you right now. Who are you? Who is the Father? Yeah, there's just one. The Father is who you are. There is no other. I said it this morning. Gary's been talking about it, but I've got to repeat it again. There is no longer a tabernacle for you to maintain. There's not a garden for you to take care of. That's the law. I don't know how anybody could say that. You still got to keep the garden. It's a bunch of baloney. The Father is the garden of your soul. You are the garden. You are that garden. It's not only is it kept, it's well serviced, it's well stocked with all things. That's pretty good. That's like what? A freezer that never runs out. You don't have to go fill it no more. Yeah. So, the different plan. Now, we say, boy, this is wonderful. But then here comes some other things. Here comes some other teaching. So when you realize you are the Father and it's you, I remember doing this one day. Father, it's you. It's not who I thought I was. It's really you. And I'm sure you can take care of yourself. Huh? That's quite a leap of faith, isn't it? Huh? It can't mean, and it will never mean, that things on the appearance level need to change. Okay, we've got to get that down. We're still playing with that a little bit. Things on the appearance level never need to change. They don't. Plan B's got to kick in. Remember now. Because if you think something's got to change, you're judging something for the future. You're trying to live in the future. Everything, I mean everything you need, everything that ever was and is within you right now. Nothing needs to change. Okay, we're not looking for change in the world. The only thing that needs to change is you've got to stop judging the world and judging for future peace. There's no such thing as the future. If you don't have it all now, you're never going to get it. Okay? You're never going to get it. You have it all now. So, what we need to understand is, if we can't learn today how to live through apparent problems, how to live through difficulties that appear unto us without seeking the right or wrong answer, we're going to struggle. When you're looking for an answer to the problem, you begin to desire and pray to a God to change the difficulties in your lives. This is what we've been doing. We're never going to get to first base there. All of it's got to disappear. So Gary talked about the ego, and I wasn't quite sure I was with him, but I'm going to use it in a different way because to me the ego is bad, okay? And it's really the personality or that which you think you are, which isn't real, okay? So in that context, I think I'm okay. Am I okay, Gary, to use it that way? Jesus did not come to die for your ego, okay? It's going to have to die alone. We're not unique. That causes separation to think you're unique. The Father, you've got to look at it a different way, okay? This is the way you need to look at it. The Father is all. And as soon as you start lifting up your uniqueness, you want to call attention to yourself. That's not what this is about. Okay? You are all things to all men. Why? Because the very same Father that's in you is the same Father that's in your neighbor. That's going to be a challenge for you. Okay? It is, though. And as you see that, as Gary was talking about it, that Father in them is drawn to you and it can see you. It knows who you are. But what happens when they come? I experienced this last week. My younger brother always torments me. And he went on one of his tirades, and I just sit there in silence and let him do his thing. I said no word. Finally, he realized I wasn't cooperating with him. And he just left. And I called him an hour later, and I said, how you doing? He said, what do you want? I said, you know, I really don't know what the problem is, but all I know is I love you and I want a relationship with you. That's all I said. I just said I don't want us to get to 80 and not talk to each other and not want to be with each other. That's all I want, I said. If you think I owe you something or you owe me something, why don't we just call it a wash? Let's not go there. And he responded very well to that. He said, okay, in a quiet voice. And I'm telling you what, he almost got arrested. He almost went so far he got arrested with it. And I wouldn't get in the boxing ring with him. I would not do it. Because I don't want to act like a high school student anymore. That's what high school kids do. That's what we used to do in high school, beat the crap out of each other. I don't do that stuff anymore. And today you can't get away with it. Today you're going to jail, and I don't want to go to jail. Okay, so that wasn't the only restraint. I know it wasn't him, and I wasn't going to join him. So what did I do? I saw through the difficulty and realized he just didn't know who he was. He doesn't understand who he is. But I know who he is, and I'm going to talk to that. I'm going to communicate with that, and he calmed down just like a pussycat within the space of an hour. 1 minute, the Tasmanian devil. The next minute, I'm getting a soft voice over the phone. Well, who is this guy? Well, he doesn't know who he is. But I know who he is, and that's what I'm going to talk to. That I'm in union with. And it responded to those kind words, those soft words, that just said, I love you. And I said, Mark, I certainly don't want to torment you, but I love you. That's all I know. I just said, you're my brother, and I love you. And it's a hard road for me. really is. It's a difficult road. But it teaches me the patience and the kindness and the love that I already am. And I like that. I'm enjoying that. It's really wonderful. So, Jesus did not come to die for your ego or your identity, your private identity, right? That which you've got a name for. So Joel says, as long as there remains concern for personal good, security, health, or peace of mind, there is that which must die daily, in order that we may be reborn of the Spirit into the realization of immortality here and now. So I'm going to read it again. As long as there remains concern or desire for personal good, security, health, or peace of mind, there is that which must die daily in order that one may be reborn of the Spirit into the realization of immortality here and now. Why? When there's remains concern for personal good, security, health, and peace of mind, where are we living? The future. That's why desire is sin. You're not a sinner, but desiring for a life you don't have is sin. The question is, do you have all things for life and godliness?
Yes.
Do you? Do you? That's what you got to ask yourself. Am I contained? Am I sustained? Am I complete? Am I satisfied in this moment? I love what Walter Lanyon said, because in the book, The Joy Bringer, it was one of the first books of his I ever read. He showed me the difference between trying to be good and understanding righteousness. He said, if you keep saying to yourself, try to be kind, try to be kind, you're never going to be kind. Gary talked about it in Romans. But Walter said this, why be unkind? Why is it that you want to be unkind? Mm-hmm. That's the question, isn't it?
Yep.
That's not a trying. What is it that's paralyzing? It stops you. And you say, why is it that I want to be unkind? What's my problem? And I told the Father many times, I've talked to him when I've been frustrated and even depressed and confused, and I'd go to the Father and I'd say, I always knew it was me. I said, well, Father, what's my problem? And immediately he'd say, it's your judgment, Mike. Every time. It's your judgment, Mike. It's your judgment, Mike. And I would stop long enough to realize, I had to reel back the movie player a couple, you know, slides back to see where it began, but it didn't take me long to find the problem. I said, oh, there it is. I didn't think that was right. Or that's out of line. And the moment I recognized it, it was gone. That quick. And I was at peace. The crucifixion of self is accomplished when desire has left the scene and there is nothing left for which you wish to pray. There's no God out there that is going to help you with your world or what you see with the eyes. There's absolutely no help available to work with your world perspective. There's no help there. This is why we will never see any kind of change coming to the earth, because there does not need to be. Everyone's got his own view of the world, and none of them agree. Have we ever thought that the whole earth is full of the glory of God and everything's in order already? Have we ever even considered that? That nothing's out of order? Said he rested on the seventh day and called it all good. What is it that, what's wrong with it? The only thing that's wrong with it is our judgment of it. That's it. That's the only thing. So, this is why Jesus would continue to say, and he said many times, I'm going to leave the world and return to the Father. And you can do it right now and you don't have to leave your chair. What is the Father? This essence, this presence that's never changing. Omnipresent, unconditional love that judges no man. It doesn't dwell in a realm of judgment to any degree. And that's why we can't look out for something tomorrow to improve our view of the world. Now that doesn't mean that things won't appear different. It doesn't mean that, but we take our concern off of it. We're not trying to force it to happen. See, we move and have our being in that which is perfect. And so from that consciousness, we move out in peace, and we've always got a green light. We don't focus on what we see as change anymore. We understand that we are the light of the world. And you take that with you wherever you go. David said, I was in hell, and that's when he started talking to the Father. So that he needed to go there. He said, I was in hell, and I cried out to you. Dean Dosher said something. When I no longer desired to be God, I found all my prayers answered. Ooh. When I no longer desired to be God, I found all my prayers answered. Joel just said that before, that when you're laying down your life and you've, the crucifixion of this false life leaves, it means you'll have no more prayer requests. They both say the same thing. When I no longer desired to be God, what? Trying to control the outcome, right? I found all my prayers answered. Then I said in my post below it, this is a profound statement that needs to resonate deep within your being. It's telling you that all your desires are a feeble attempt to play the role of a God of control, which always judges for good or evil. It's always seeking a specific answer to a problem or circumstance. And the answer to your problem or circumstance comes from the lust of the flesh to find something outside yourself that will satisfy you, and you will never find it. No, never. It's a bottomless pit and an empty tomb that always cries out for more, more, and is never satisfied. Are all your prayers answered? Are you still praying for stuff? I hope not. We quit praying over our meals quite a long time ago. But we did when we first met. And if that's what you want to do, that's okay, but it don't change nothing. Doesn't mean you're going to choke on your food, okay? All right? It's okay. Joel said the immortal soul is ever present. Even when clothed with personality. Now this is great. Because we know the personality doesn't help us. But listen to what he says about it. Because Gary talked about the same thing. The immortal self is ever present, even when clothed with personality. But it is revealed and lived only in proportion as personality or the human selfhood disappears. See, it's already there. But when you lose your life of an independent self or an identity, that's when it appears under your consciousness and becomes alive. It's beautiful. So Lanyon said, put it this way, the same thing. Said, as long as you're taking thoughts, you're going to suffer. Summed it up pretty quickly, didn't he? So the only thing you need saved from is your unbelief and judgment of the world. We want to see change in the world, but it is the very desire that keeps us in bondage to what? The appearances that we see that we don't like. Something out there going on, there's funny business going on, needs to change. Never has not been that way in our mortal mind. When has it ever not been that way in our mortal mind? The sense world, human experience, takes place in time or space, Joel says. And this in itself precludes it being spiritual in nature. But if you can hear the voice within and truly awaken to the truth that nothing needs to change, you will see that the fullness of the Lord already is present upon the earth. Already. But it's impossible to realize this life within as long as one has in mind a purpose or an object other than the realization to that which is eternal as your life. It's impossible. Now, I was sitting out next to a cornfield when this overtook me. And I was listening to Kay teaching on one spirit. It was a beautiful message. And I've taught this as a doctrine when I was Calvinist. I taught this truth. But it never overtook me the way it did next to that cornfield. And Kay kept saying, the fullness of the Lord covers the earth. And I said to the Father, the whole earth? And he goes, yep. And then he said to me, nothing is out of order in heaven. And when nothing's out of order in heaven, nothing's out of order in the earth. Nothing is out of order. That is our salvation. To go out and enter this world with the consciousness of non-judgment and separation. So, Joel talks a lot about the dream of mortal mind. And I'm going to finish up with this. As we are taking thought, we're always dwelling on a person, a place, or a thing. Always. However, what we do not understand is that we are functioning within the dream of mortal mind, trying to function there. We then find ourselves trying to reach out to adjust or change or heal the dream. Why do you think we're frustrated? Is that not a perfect explanation of frustration? Huh? When we dwell on a person, place, or thing, we're trying to function in the dream of mortal mind, of mortality. We then find ourselves trying to reach out and adjust and change or heal the dream, and it's all a dream. It's all a dream. It's not real. It's an illusion. This is why we're frustrated, never finding peace, living in anxiousness. Because first we believe it's real, and then we want to change that which is not real. And we are not going to get anywhere with it, okay? All you're going to be left with is frustration. Because it's not reality. It's not the kingdom of the Father. Within the kingdom, nothing needs to change. You are that kingdom. That's where you live out from. And so, here's the beginning. Once we realize that we are trying to function within the dream state, we are then beginning to awaken from the dream. That's what Joel said. Once we realize that we've been trying to function within the dream state, oh, that's what I'm doing. We are beginning to awaken out of the dream. I believe that's where we are today. I believe that the biggest issue we must deal with right now is the fact that we all believe in death, for one. Ask yourself, when you get in that quiet place, why do I believe that we're going to die? Why do I believe I'm going to die? Why do we believe anybody dies? I said on the message, "What is life?" Bullets don't kill anyone. Where does it say anywhere that bullets can take eternal life? It doesn't. All through, Lanyon and Joel and Tony would always say, nobody ever dies. But we can't see that in our realm of judgment. That's not what we see. We're complaining about the one dead tree in a stand of 1,000 trees. That's all we can see is the one dead one. When there's 999 that are fully alive. Because we don't understand the essence of life. We don't understand the essence of the swan. Because we want to pick it apart and put names on it. And attach 70 to it. There's no 70. There is no such thing. So, Joel says, the sense world or human experience can only take place in time and space. And this in itself precludes it in being spiritual in nature. And I put that in there again, because I read that to you before. People talk about life beyond the grave. Life beyond the grave has no relationship to immortality. That's just the same thing as wanting to go to heaven someday. It's the same thing. Life beyond the grave is but the survival of what? Personality. You want your personality to pop back up after the grave, like a flower out of the ground. That's really what it is. The personality must be crucified and died in order that immortality may be realized. This is what Jesus was talking about. You must lose your life. It's just an idea that you're something separate from the Father. So in the kingdom of spiritual truth, life is an activity in eternity, an understanding that neither birth nor death has ever taken place there. And so in the very instance, when presented with the appearance of humanhood, even good humanhood, we must remember that it is not truth that you are seeing, but a mental image in thought without substance, cause, or effect.
I apologize.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
I love you all.
Okay, thank you, Miranda.
Thank you.
We're just about finished here. Give me 5 more minutes, okay? Gary's snoozing. I hear snoring over on the couch.
Yeah.
We got the long arm of the law over there. That's okay. They can snore. It sounds good, actually. So I want to read that last small paragraph again, okay? The kingdom of spiritual truth. Within the kingdom of spiritual truth, life is an activity in eternity. An understanding that neither birth or death has ever taken place there. And so in every instance, when presented with the appearance of humanhood, especially good humanhood, remember that it is not truth that you're seeing, but a mental image and thought without substance, cause, or effect. Now, probably one of the biggest things that trips us up, and I shared a message in Australia, was called the judgment of good. Because the Christian church today sees that as spiritual. That's their substance for spirituality. But the judgment of good trips us up more than the judgment of evil. But if you're in a realm where you think good's coming to you, you're waiting for the hammer to come down. Yeah, that's what we're thinking. And it's more deceptive. It's more crippling to live in that realm. It's not about good or evil. It's not about blessing or cursing. Because with that always comes a God of reward and punishment. And that God is just a sense, see? It's not like a figure, but it's a feeling that, boy, today I got blessing, you know, tomorrow the hammer's going to drop, you know, don't enjoy it too long. But if you can begin to live in a life where no matter what comes to you, you know it's for you. It'll take the judgment out of it. And you'll know it's all for your reward. Every bit of it is for your reward. I said this a while back. I said, I deserve everything I get. And when you start doing it in thanksgiving and appreciation, it won't hurt. It won't be painful. I deserve everything I get. Why? Because everything that comes to me is coming to me from the Father of light and love. Everything. And when it tries to trip me up, what's the answer? Be still. Be still. And wait to be directed. As soon as you have a reaction to it that makes you want to react to the thing, it's not time. Spirit always responds. It does. The flesh always reacts. And so, seeing the divine presence in all, it's just what I just said. Whatever comes to you is for you. When the drop of dirty water, Lanyon says, becomes one with the ocean of life, it's purified. What's the drop of dirty water? What is that? A twisted consciousness. You are that drop. When it becomes one with the ocean, it's purified. And guess what? It is the ocean then, isn't it? It's the ocean then. But see, we want to reach down and get up a little sample and say, this is Mike Nevins, the greatest drop the ever ocean's ever seen. And that's what's got to die. That's what's got to die. That's the essence of you is the ocean. It's never ending. It's who you are. You can't ever be separated from it once you know you are that. You are that. And it's not about identity. It's not about individuality. It's about union and the realization that we're all the same. Then we don't look at each other and say, well, you know, your toe's a little long, or your kneecap's fat, or whatever the hell it is we say we don't like, you know. We don't see black or white. We don't see male or female. Somebody was writing to say, why don't you talk about the mother more, the mother God, instead of the father God? I say, there is no mother or father. There's just one. I don't care about any of that baloney. I'm not interested in any of that stuff. There's no gay, straight, black or white, fat, skinny, ugly or beautiful. Just don't look at that stuff anymore. But the mind, what? Always sees that. It still does. It still does. There was this gal I saw was heading into the Social Security office, and I don't know how in the hell she got through the door. I really don't. But what do I have to do? Withdraw. Judgment. Yeah? Because as soon as you see it, you're going, whoa. And then I realize I'm probably not too much smaller than her. And I shut the hell up, don't I? Huh? I'm a little more nimble. But mortal mind's always a hypocrite. Mortal mind always shows partiality. It always does. And it will keep you from the pure wisdom that'll bring your peace and gentleness to you. That's what James says. The wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle, without hypocrisy and without partiality. It doesn't see any of that stuff at all. Now, this is where you're going to find, this is your tool you're going to take with you as you leave this weekend, okay? It talks about many places in Scripture about being a watcher. How would you like to be a beautiful watchdog? That's all you got to do is sit there and just watch. Gorgeous watchdog. You're a watcher. What? Of immortality at work. You don't have to take care of the guard no more. You become, as you find this place of peace and contentment without anxiousness, you'll become a watcher of immortality at work. And you'll find it goes ahead of you and straightens out what you think is crooked. You'll become a watcher of immortality at work as you lose the perimeter of personality and discover yourself, capital Y, O-U-R-S-E-L. You become a watcher. As we look deeper into our own consciousness and behold that which is eternal, we see the past, present, and future of judgment disappear from mortal plane. So thank you, everybody. We're so glad you've been with us this weekend. The Ustream is blowing up. I got two notices already. I'm way over my limits, but it says, don't worry, we'll bill you.
Surely will.
So Dean was watching the counter. I guess it was going bananas. So we've already had over 200 views of the messages this weekend. And we want you to know, all of us here want you to know we love you. And we're grateful that you're with us. And we're sure hoping that you've heard something that will talk to that which you are, and that what we will is deal with what? That unbelief and separation. Yeah, that's our goal. And so thank you, everybody. We love you. And the next time we'll be with you will be towards the end of August. So we will see you then. Thank you. Bye-bye.